This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Mike Fisher's coming up here at 3:20. Give you the very latest on the Mavs. They'll be shorthanded, but getting Porzingis back as they go to Charlotte. That tip-off is coming up at 6 o'clock right here. It's an East Coast game there, so 6 o'clock on Fox Sports Southwest. Get your AT&T Now app ordered immediately. Is that the deal? It's not that difficult to get your Mavs. It's going to be $85, and you got to change your streaming service, but it's there for you. Mark Cuban's scrambling. He's doing anything in his power to try to get this game to his fans. I know it's got to be killing him. We'll have more on that story coming up at 5:40, shortly before the game. We'll give you the very latest. Well, unofficial pregame show action. Thought you'd appreciate it. But what do you think about little My Name is Earl at 877 881-1053? I don't know if you want to call in. I suppose you could if you can be absolutely fascinating. But please don't waste Lucius's time, okay? He's back there in the Pimp Cup producing the show. So why don't you go ahead and just text in. Make it much more user-friendly on you anyway at 877-881-1053. I didn't think it was a topic. You know, to be honest, I saw Fish writing about it yesterday. Should Dan Quinn call Earl? I said, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Nobody's calling up Earl Thomas. We talked about it late last night, though, the C-Note, the Cowboys News of the Evening, every night at 6:20 here in the nation. And, you know, what really kind of got my mind thinking a little bit, I'm not into double-digit probability, by the way, right? I'm still somewhere around 2.5% or 3% likely that this could come together. But Dan Quinn's the defensive coordinator, worked with him in Seattle, players coach, they like him. So assuming Earl likes Dan Quinn. And then Richard Sherman, who is his best football player friend, that's the thing that really sort of made me go from like 0.2% to around 2.5 or 3. You know, maybe you have a good friend, you can vent to that guy, get it out of your system, hang out, be like, all right, thanks, man. You know, I just needed somebody to vent to. And now you go to work with a slightly different outlook on things. They say in Seattle, when Richard Sherman left for the 49ers, now, maybe it was just a coincidence that those events were happening, but it did coincide with the time where Earl Thomas became more and more alienated from the Seattle roster. So, you know, hey, that's the whole theory, that with Dan and Richard, maybe it would be a situation. And with a year off, right? Not only a year off, but he was in Houston, signed, sealed, and delivered, and the team said, no, we're not doing this. So maybe Earl Thomas is at a spot now where he's like where Antonio Brown got to. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, that was kind of my bad. And if I need to do this to play, maybe I can walk the line just a little bit more. But still, it does seem pretty outlandish, especially if you add to it, guys, the fact we don't know how good he is.
Are you pushing for a double dip? Bring in Richard Sherman, which then lets you bring in Earl Thomas?
I think that's the way it could work.
Okay.
I don't think it has any shot of working based on what I know now. Now there's been time, you know? And guys in the NFL can get the second chance. You gotta be good though, and we don't know if Earl's good.
Yeah, I mean, depending what the Cowboys are going to do defensively and what we know about Dan Quinn and what he did as a coordinator, then old Richard Sherman might still be a fit if he could be had on a 1-year deal at the right price. The Earl Thomas one still throws me off a little bit just because no one signed him the entirety of the year. No one even tried. And at least one team was talked out of it by their own players as soon as they talked about the idea. And Dan Quinn was a head coach. Dan Quinn could have brought him on the team at any time. So yeah. I guess when you throw in that you're requiring Richard Sherman to be a part of it, it's two holes the Cowboys have, okay?
Yeah.
They need a corner And if they're going to run what Dan Quinn seems to be most comfortable running, they need a free safety badly. But the last experience we have is Earl Thomas playing that role is his teammates telling him, hey, you don't even come to walkthroughs and you don't know what you're doing, and him punching people. So yeah. I'm with you, and then I'm going to say low probability. Now, I'll hold out for the Richard Sherman one, though. I wouldn't mind having some interest in a one-year deal on Richard Sherman. I don't think that's going to Daryl Worley you. I think if you had him, I bet he would play at least passable football. So I appreciate that idea. Earl, for now, I'm just going to be like, nah, I'm good. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that if you brought in...
Brian's got Earl behind him on his
stupid
background.
That looks great, by the way. That looks great.
I really like what Jeff's saying here about bringing in Richard Sherman, because maybe what we know about, you know, maybe what we know about Earl Thomas, I'm going to ask. I swear it's my job to ask. If I have to get in a car and drive to Austin or Houston or wherever he is, I'm going to get in a car and go find out. But I think that if, you know, what I'm learning about this, about the secondary coach too, is do I need a veteran guy that the young guys who I'm going to have playing that can kind of go to and talk to and you know, hey, you know, Richard, explain this to me, man. He's asking me to do this. And he goes, well, what he's trying to tell you to do is do this. You know, and so both guys would make a fit. But if I had to go pick one of them, I think I'm going to pick Richard Sherman. But I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to go see Earl Thomas just to kind of figure out where he's at and see him with my own eyes and see if some of the things that I heard about him at some of his previous stops are true. Get him to sit down with me man to man and tell me, hey, man, I was dealing with a lot of bad things in my life. I was in a dark place, and now I feel better, da, 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 da. Yeah, then if that's the case, then sure, let's go. But if I get the vibe that it hasn't changed for him, right, I'm going to go get Richard Sherman because I know he could help my young guys.
Yeah, Richard Sherman can still play, and that's impressive for him to be doing that at his age. He's not one of the best corners in the NFL anymore, but he would be the Cowboys' best corner based on what's on the team now. The thing with him, I feel like he's still playing well enough to earn significant money, more money than the Cowboys can afford, at least the way they are attempting to do the cap right now. Now, you did bring up Dan Quinn. He was in Atlanta, and they didn't want him. They had Keanu Neal, right? So maybe the angle there could be, well, you know, we had another guy that we were playing. We didn't need a safety as much as the Cowboys will. 817 says, bring the Texas native home. UT, baby. Yeah. Earl wants his second chance. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Brian. Text in.
No. I appreciate that. I think there's a lot of folks who would like the opportunity to bring him in. I mean, to me, though, it's one of those things where you have to, you know, you have to look at the situation for your team, and you have to say, you know, hey, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of guys, General, when we start talking about this money, there might not be a lot of money for guys out there. So if Richard Sherman is looking for this big of a deal, you know, it's like, Richard, you're not going to get that anywhere else. Everybody's broke. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, hey, I got both palms up. Like, man, I can't pay you, bro. If you want to come and play on a one-year deal at this, or you could retire and become a broadcaster or a state senator or whatever you want to do. But I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be looking at this free agent market and going, man, there ain't a lot of money out there for me. Maybe Richard Sherman will take a crack here at a decent deal from you, though.
Yeah, you know, you're always willing to risk some sort of drama if the salary is so low that you could move on without much of a problem.
I think there's going to be a lot of guys like that, General. I think there's going to be some guys that are going to get let go when we start the new league year that we're like, wow, he's on the market? He's on the market? So, yeah.
I think it is very telling that no team has brought him in a league that brings almost everybody back. And maybe we'll get to that point, but at 32 years old, maybe it really is over. But I also think there's details in this story that the players know in the player circle, and they just haven't shared with the media yet.
Yeah, if you talk to people down in Austin, even his own teammates have distanced from him in a lot of ways.
And this was
when things were going down with the Ravens, and so – you know, maybe some things have changed. Maybe all of a sudden you go down there, you get some help, you get some counseling, you kind of correct your problems. But there's some of his old teammates that took a step back and said, you know, hey, man, I'm sorry, you're on your own right now. And maybe those guys will come back. Those are just some of the whispers I heard down there in Austin.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys do need a center field safety. So I could get talked into it. You know, I just need to hear one half sentence about a therapist or a good track record or a light coming on, whatever it is. Show me something. You've been going to church on Sundays, Earl? Okay. Sounds like you found the Lord, my man. Come on, let's go. You ready to heal? What do you got, Jeff?
Life's about to get fun, boys.
Let's go.
In the NBA, James Harden's going to Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah, so the big man, he had a nice, healthy breakfast, probably a big old lunch, and now he's going to be headed to Brooklyn, where Kyrie Irving hates the coach, and the latest report is that he and KD don't talk very much either. Here comes James Harden with Kevin Durant and Kyrie maybe not getting along great. Kyrie doesn't like the coach, so he's not showing up every once in a while. And James Harden's fat. Let's go! Three of the 10 or 15 best players in the league. Every one of them a head case.
We might have to adopt this team as the official. No, I know the Mavericks will always be our team, but
because
maybe
we're a problem too. And yeah, it's like maybe
we should adopt Brooklyn, have segments on Brooklyn every day. That'd probably be good radio. It probably will.
I'm fascinated to see if they can pull it together. You know, I mean, they're kind of like Team FU money. They're superstars. They've accomplished it all. MVPs everywhere. And, you know, there's a champion here, champion there. But I feel like they're not looking to sacrifice anymore. And it's like the first time they feel like this isn't exactly what I want, they're like, oh, this is stupid. You know, now Katie and Kyrie aren't talking. What the
which
hell?
Which two end up tight and turn on the third? Who ends up
I don't
being
know.
The odd man?
Or maybe it's perfect. You know, maybe all they need is just a place where they can be their surly selves and kind of stay in their own world. They all understand each other, and then they show up and ball. You know, Kyrie and KD have some of the top five player efficiency rankings right now. So when Kyrie's not partying, when he's playing, he's showing up and playing well, and KD's second in the league in scoring, coming back from the Achilles, dropping 29 per game. I mean, it's... There is a level, and there have been champions that didn't get along, Brian. There is a level you can be so good, the chemistry and all for one for all doesn't matter. You just do you and show up and kill it on the court, and we'll be just fine.
You don't have to go to dinner with the guy. You just have to play hard with him on a nightly basis. That's all you have to do.
Well, Kyrie's not doing that. He's opting not to be there right now.
So weird.
He's at his sister's birthday, Jeff. Cut him some slack.
For three games in a row.
Well, we're just hanging out, you know.
The latest report is that he's upset that he wasn't more involved in the head coaching decision.
That's the guy you need to worry about. Nash, I don't know if Phil Jackson can even handle this team now, but we'll see. We'll see.
He's like watching SportsCenter and sees how ticked off Deshaun Watson is. He's like, well, I'll be. Yeah. They didn't ask me either.
Yeah.
All he needs is something to set him off to be ticked about, and he's gone, you know?
What is going on down in Houston, by the way? This is all kinds of chaos down there, man. Kinds of chaos.
I think a number of things, but when you move on from the GM and the coach, who's been really good and instrumental at building and finding resourceful ways, and then all of a sudden you say, no, we're going in a completely different direction. We don't want any of your advice. I mean, you've spent 8 years setting expectations that this is the way that things go, and you totally flipped the job description on its head. It was too much for James, especially if there's not a great chance for a championship.
Well said, but I was talking about in sports in general in Houston, about all their teams.
Yeah, that's great.
I tell you what I'm interested in. Here's the tweet from Shams on the trade. Harden is going to the Nets. Four first-round picks, four draft swaps to the Rockets. But also, Caris LeVert and Jarrett Allen are being moved, and he says could be another team or two involved. Caris LeVert is a baller.
He is a baller. Yeah.
He almost put them in the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
like that. If James Harden is going to show up and not be, well, I mean, gosh, he's MVP caliber. We've just seen a few games of Fat Harden. So I guess you assume he's still just an absolute monster, but Caris LeVert's good. So I'm actually interested to see where he's going and how many other teams are involved.
Yeah, do you get all three of those guys in the court together? It's going to be exceptional when they do. Is this the greatest super team going right now? No, I mean, it feels like something big has happened, but people are doubting its potential to spell a dynasty.
I would like to raise my hand. I am doubting the dynasty. I doubt this one.
It's like when Melo and Amari Stoudemire went to the New York Knicks, and people were like, that's not going to, no. But it's even more now. I mean, this is superstar level. This is all NBA type of dudes in their prime.
I mean, just those three is probably the most talented roster in the league, and just count me among the ones that assume it's going to blow up.
At 877-881-1053. Lucius, tell Dawson the German soccer team that won the World Cup hated one another. Go James Harden. Yeah, and they dominated. Is that the team that beat
Lucius,
Brazil like
7-0?
Yeah, tell me that.
It's so weird how that works, right? It's so weird.
Well, I mean, that might be a Tolo that's not used to me having a newfound love with the Autoflex Leasing Fantex.
That
people.
Is true.
I love you guys.
That is true. I've seen you lose your head over that thing, which was very entertaining for myself.
Yeah. That'll happen again someday. The more every day that I open this bad boy up, that's in the possibilities. Punt, Kyrie.
Or do you want to catch me outside?
Too much of a diva for my taste. Grown-ass man acting like a little B-word. My 2-year-old acts more mature than he does. That's
lies.
Michael and Allen, Texas.
Lies. Your 2-year-old is not that mature.
They lost. Yeah. That team lost Spencer Dinwiddie too, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he get hurt his knee? That I just keep about the thing about the players.
He's only played in 3 games this year.
Yeah. Man, yeah, they started off very well. They looked like man, they might win all their games, and then they had some struggles here lately though.
All right. Well, we'll get Fish's thoughts on this. If you want to chime in as well, just 877-881-1053. We'll come back, get Fish's thoughts on Mavs game night. James Harden traded out of the conference. Okay, and Cowboy stuff next in the G-Back Nation. Big day in the world of sports. As it happened, James Harden traded. He has been sent to the Brooklyn Nets for a package of 4 picks and Caris LeVert. They then turn around and Houston does and sends Caris LeVert to the Indiana Pacers for Victor Oladipo. So that's pretty much the framework of the deal. It is a Mavs game night as well. We'll get thoughts on those stories and some Cowboy stuff right here with Mike Fisher. He's at Fish Sports, and segment is brought to you by My Computer Career and by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple, confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS.
He's in the building!
How the hell are you, Fish?
Yeah, that happened fast. Now, it didn't happen fast enough for James Harden.
He needs to fast.
That was good.
That was good. When James Harden pushed himself away from the table last night, it was like the first time he'd pushed himself away from the table in months. And he also pushed himself, of course, straight out of Houston. I still think that it's distasteful what he's done. I think there's a way, and it is commonplace in the NBA for a star to decide that I'm not happy here anymore. And then the way that league works, he has the muscle, he can get out. And in fact, aren't the Mavericks hoping that Bradley Beal, who puts up with a lot of junk over the years in Washington, aren't we hoping that Bradley Beal says, get me out of here? I still don't know how you get him without giving up Kristaps Porzingis, but there's nothing wrong with wishing that. I just don't like the way this player, Harden, handled his business. But in the end, he gets his way and gets out of Houston's way. They get a bundle of picks, and then, General, as you mentioned, then they turn right around and acquire Victor Oladipo, who, while Harden never really had a Mavericks tie, despite the rumors, the Mavericks' interest in Victor Oladipo landing here someday, that's legit. Now, he is in the final year of his contract, I believe, Oladipo, right?
He is.
Yes. So, what Houston's doing in acquiring Oladipo is hoping he falls in love with being in Houston. And obviously they'll have the inside track to keeping him. But for now, Oladipo, not a likely Maverick target, because Houston's going to try to do something with him. We'll see if Oladipo dislikes Houston as much as Harden did. And then we'll revisit the idea of Houston going, looking at the Oladipo situation, saying, well, he's not staying here. Let's get him out of here. And then the Mavericks can be re-involved in the idea of Victor Oladipo.
Okay, yeah, end of the year, Oladipo, that sounds good. You know, I think with Harden and him wanting to get out, the measures that he took to do that don't bother me. When you got to force your way out, sports can be an unseemly business. What's a bigger concern to me is how bad is the body? You know, some of these pictures, some of the angles, it makes it look like about 15, 20 pounds for a man of his size. And that's a lot of weight. And then
some of them make it look like it's 50 pounds.
Yes, yes. It makes him look bad. And I don't know if it's that bad. And, you know, what's going on? Is there depression, weight, or are we eating too much because we don't care at all? And it's just like, or, you know, is it just a bad angle?
It could be totally intentional.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, look, I don't know if words are going to get me out of here. I'm going to show them, like, I can't even be good for you. Won't happen because I don't care until you get me out.
I agree with that one because it's hard to be fat in the NBA. I mean, you're running a marathon every night. Unless you're him. I don't know if you guys have watched much of him playing. And he'll still score, but he's not putting much effort into his games. But he can lose the weight. An NBA player can lose that weight just by playing. And so that probably will work out. But I agree with you, Jeffrey. I think it was another ploy to try to show just how disinterested he is. You know, he's got $136 more million dollars coming guaranteed in his pocket. What does he care about his reputation? General, I understand what you're saying. You know, it's part of sports, and I guess we got to deal with it. You know, we're not in any loyalty era anymore. But away he'll go to Brooklyn. We'll then get to judge once again because he says, well, the problem down here is the roster's not good enough. Which, by the way, the other players didn't take very kindly to. That's unusual. That's an unusual thing for a team leader to say. And I did everything I could. That's just a flat lie. I think if you go to strip clubs and you basically live in strip clubs, don't they have free food there?
Hell yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, yeah. That's a good way to put on 50 pounds fast.
Good food.
I guess. And, of course, I've had my debates with Brian Broaddus about whether or not you can win with this guy. And, boy, we're going to see now because on paper, that's a super team. Kyrie Irving, who's a kook, and Kevin Durant – who I think is a healthy Kevin Durant, as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then James Harden, who is maybe this side of Wilt Chamberlain, the most inventive offensive weapon in basketball history. He has recreated the idea of offensive basketball. And I give him so much, even though I dislike him as a player, just like, you know, a sports dislike, I certainly admire the fact that he's reinvented offensive basketball. He flops on offense in a way that had never been done before. And so we'll get a chance to see in the high-profile test tube that is the Brooklyn Nets whether or not James Harden can be really good on a really successful team, and I mean successful in the postseason.
Can we really get Cape? Can we get to, for Porzingis? Can we get Beal? Can we really do that, or are you just throwing that out there?
I don't see how when we do all our fun trade proposals – in fact, I did talk to somebody, and I said, give me a construction of how your Mavericks would acquire Beal. And he said, can I use somebody else's roster? No.
Okay.
So you got to use yours. Now, you know, there is what Houston just did, you know, and Brooklyn just did. They did include Cleveland
add
as a three-way.
Yeah, teams, yeah.
And so that adds assets. But I think logically and honestly, the only way to beat other people's offers that are going to come up for Beal would be, you know, you can't give him a bunch of Josh Richardsons, no offense to Josh. I wonder if you wouldn't have to say Porzingis. Now, Brian, we haven't seen enough of Porzingis, maybe to make our best judgment, but Bradley Beal is a better player than Kristaps Porzingis. Yes or no?
I know I saw him score 60 the other night in a losing effort, and he played hard the whole 48 minutes of the game.
I know.
Every night he goes out there, and every time the game's over, the other team, every player from the other team comes over and gives him a hug because they know what he's going through.
And then he goes almost always and deals with the media and tries to put a smile on his face, even though it's frustrating. He's never complained there, never. Never complained about Washington, never complained about the Wizards, never complained about his teammates. As a Mavericks fan, you want that to wear down. And listen, I'm a Porzingis fan. I think the unicorn thing is real. But Bradley Beal is a better player, and so if I'm trying to build a better roster, I would trade Porzingis to get Bradley Beal.
Healthier guy too.
There's no, you know, to morph into football here, to segue into football, Jerry's one of his new latest cool sayings that he likes in the last couple of years is, Mr. Bryan, the best kind of ability is availability. And there's no doubt Bradley Beal is infinitely more available than Kristaps Porzingis, who will be available tonight for the Mavericks at the Hornets. And there'll be a lot of NBA eyes on this one, of course.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that there's not more of a desire to trade Porzingis for Beal. I mean, Beal's better and less injured. That seems like a no-brainer.
Well, part of it, of course, is in this infinite web of who you know and who you like and agents and friends, the Mavericks are very much in bed with Porzingis. I mean, they've and have been for a long time. And so they've got their relationships with him, relationships with his brother. You know, it's like making sure agents are that you're on the right side with them. And so that's a big part of it. If we were just in a vacuum, I think that'd be a lot easier to do. Now, at this point, even if you called Washington and said we're ready, maybe they're not ready. And also, they might say, well, why don't we let Porzingis play a game before we have any serious conversations about this? And I'm not predicting that conversation. I am predicting the Mavericks call about Bradley Beal and at least try to kick the tires on something. Ideally, wouldn't it be, I want all three of them. I mean, I'm trying to create my own super team, too. I'd like to find a way to have Bradley Beal on it and not trade away, obviously, Luka or KP. I just don't see the math. I don't see how it works.
Yeah, I can't construct a deal at all that does not include Porzingis, and I don't know. When I was looking for teams that could make a deal with Bradley, the Mavs were never mentioned. The possibility is not being discussed at all, so I assumed it's kind of a non-starter from the Mavs
side.
Well,
let me say this, General. If you're interested in the national media perspective, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer has said that when he asks general managers for candidates that the Mavericks name does come up. And then I would tell you that if you could go have a secret beer with the Mavericks and ask them about Bradley Beal in the last 3 years, they would salivate all over their beer. That's
hey, they like to keep things quiet. The Porzingis thing they've been calling about for 3 years, it hit the public out of nowhere. And, Donnie joined us last week and said he likes his roster and all that, and they're not – planning to do anything, but threw out the caveat that if the right opportunity is there, they would pounce.
I would just say this about, and I know that's a popular concept, but I'm 30 years of covering the Mavericks now and 20 years of covering the Cuban Mavericks. And that is one of Mark Cuban is going to send you a box of cigars for saying, yeah, this organization never has any leaks. Nobody ever knows anything. Mark Cuban he's pleased that's the view that most of us have.
Yeah, I hear you. It was more loose-lipped in the past, right? But they've become closer to the vest, I think, with their cards in the last couple years. What else is going on, Fish?
They've been smarter with their cards. How about that?
Okay.
They're smarter about what they say and how they say it. Again, nobody was smarter than Don Nelson. But Nelly used to come on the radio before the draft and without you knowing that he was dropping hints, he would drop hints who they were going to pick. He'd just say a word like sausage for no reason, and he meant German sausage, Dirk. And then after the draft, he would tell you, "I can't believe you didn't get that hint." I'm like, "What? You said sausage? That didn't mean anything. You're saying I had some breakfast. What'd you have for breakfast? I had sausage and eggs, Nelly. That didn't mean anything." So
yeah,
Nelly had some
hints.
Fun with it. The administration before that was not smart about it at all. These Mavericks are smart about how they do it. I'll agree with that.
Don wouldn't be a good teammate on the Pyramid Show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's saying sausage to try to get you to Hasselhoff. You're like,
That's right.
What are you doing, man?
Do we have time to do Cowboy free agency, or you want to do that tomorrow, General?
Well, if you can do it about 90 seconds, it's your choice, Fish.
Okay, let's tease this for tomorrow.
All right.
We need to go through, and I think there's probably 12 important names on this list. And I sent them to you so we can think about this over the course of the overnight. Pay or nay? Everybody from Dak Prescott to Antoine Woods and all the important names in between. We'll do that tomorrow on G-Bag Nation at 3:20.
Sounds good, buddy. Have a good one.
Thanks, boys.
He's at Fish Sports on Twitter, the great Mike Fisher. I thought he was going to do some quiddy pay. Is that the
too.
Michigan pass rusher?
Yeah, the guy with a – he's kind of a funny body built guy.
Hey,
yeah,
hey.
Short body, long
you guys.
Legs.
I was ready to hammer the nay on that one. You want nothing to do with quiddy pay
that way,
late
general.
First round?
Yeah. You could do worse.
All right.
Taco?
You could do worse. He's not Taco.
Michigan.
He's a good athlete. Taco was not a good athlete.
Pay Rousseau Rousseau would be worse.
Rousseau would – Rousseau's Taco.
Throw the pen, Jeff. Rousseau.
He's got the right stuff.
Would you just go off the air, Jeff, if they take Rousseau?
I told you I'm going to quit.
You would?
Yeah, because we are partners with the Cowboys, and I can't be partners with somebody who makes poor decisions.
We need you, Jeff. You know, if we have any hope
months,
of talking some sense into this team, we need all hands on deck, okay?
Yeah, we'll see.
Here we go. It is the G-Bag Nation. Is Sark the man to bring him back? Takeaways from his presser and questions around the Longhorns coming up next, the Nation. All righty. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll go around the NBA, what Mark Cuban is saying and what he's trying to do to get the Mavs on your television. Plus, we got a big trade with James Harden sent to the Brooklyn Nets. We will we'll get you caught up to speed on that and more right here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Are you buying Sarkisian's going to have the Longhorns back? Are they back yet? You know, it's been a popular joke. He flew into Austin yesterday just hours after winning it all with Bama. And at the presser, he made quite an impact. He said, I came here to win championships. That's the goal. We're here to chase greatness and win championships. That's why I'm here. That's what's going to drive us every single day. I think the college football introductory press conference is more prone to go into hype mode and everything is great and we're going to take this baby all the way. It just happens. So you do have to take that into consideration. But with the Longhorns, it's a realistic goal. It's not like you're doing this at Stephen F. Austin trying to get people fired up and believing in what you're doing and you're going to go in there and take them down to the playoffs. You know, you're coming into a real-life situation that should be a national power but isn't. You know, it's just a matter of can anybody do it, and if so, do you think Sarkisian meets the standard?
It's just so weird. Like, the way we talk about the University of Texas head football job and all that comes with it, is there any other job in the country that you talk about that way? Like, the boosters and just the crap that you have to navigate. I don't know if there's another job where we talk about that, because I think Sarkisian as a coach, and I'll let Brian talk about what he could mean for recruiting, but as a coach, I think when you watch Alabama's offense, sure, they have better players than everybody else, but when you look at their play design and you look at the ways that they were getting Devontae Smith the game, the ball in the championship game, and I think he's a really, really good offensive mind, and I think that that translates to recruiting. You can just put on tape and be like, you want to go to the league? You're going to be this guy for me, this guy that I get the ball to in 500 different ways, that I use these route concepts. So as just a coach, assuming that he's put the reasons that he is not already a head coach behind him, I believe in him as a coach for sure. And I think I believe in his ability to recruit because of what he's done as a coach. My only question is, does Texas ruin you? Do you show up and you're like, all right, I'm ready to get to work. And they're like, sweet, the fundraiser's at 3. We tee off at 6:15. And remember, you got to call this booster at 9:30 before he goes to bed. You tuck him in each night. And does that just ruin you?
Yeah, I Jeff, you make some really great points there. And I think the last point you made is that the reason why Nick Saban has had so much success at Alabama is because he doesn't have to worry about the boosters bothering him. You know, he's got so many skins on the wall. Nobody wants to get in coach's way. Now, you know, at Texas, could very well be a different situation. Alumni's, hey, I want to be a part. I want to see the coach. I want to shake his hand. I want to get a picture with him. You know, there's so many things in demand. And if Sark starts winning, then he could set it up how Nick has it at Alabama, where he doesn't have to deal with all that. You know, that the Alabama alums understand, like, hey, coach's time is coach's time. You know, we'll just keep giving our money, keep showing up at the events, appreciate when he gives us a minute of his time. You know, the Mercedes dealership is happy to have him on the ads and stuff like that. But you have to, you know, at Texas, he's going to have to win in order to buy that autonomy. It happened in New England with Bill Belichick. There's things he doesn't have to do because he's so successful. And trust me, I feel like that coming to Texas, he won a national championship with Mac Jones as his quarterback. You don't think he'd get a better quarterback from the state of Texas to play for him and run that offense the way it needs to be run?
Mac Jones about to get picked in the first round, Brian.
Mac Jones is a fine quarterback, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying there are better, more highly recruited players, better talented players in the state of Texas than there are Mac Jones. And I believe that. I've seen it with my own eyes. I think we all have seen it with our own eyes. He can come in here, and it's not like he's having to recruit at Iowa or Purdue or, you know, any of these other places. He's recruiting at Texas, and he could get kids to the NFL. That's how he could sell this. And I think he's going to get kids. I think he's going to get the skill kids at wide receiver. I think he's going to get the skill kids at quarterback. I think the offensive line, he's got a plan for that. It's just a matter of, like, the alumni just giving him some space and letting him do his job.
You know, I think you're hitting on some really good things that maybe Charlie Strong and Tom Herman didn't have, and, right, and gives him a chance. This track record of working USC and Bama and sort of knowing the path and having the success and what NFL players or NFL coaches are looking for.
Washington, too, when he was head coach at Washington, the Huskies. You know, they put some guys in the league, too. Yeah,
yeah, they had a good turnaround. You know, they were 0-12 when he stepped in there in Seattle. And he got them to play above 500 football, which is nice. At USC, though, after the first year, 9-4 win in the Holiday Bowl, the next year it was really collapsing. And then you find out it's not only drinking, it's also drugging, you know. So were those things holding him back? Are we getting a better version of Steve Sarkisian? Is that the reason it didn't work in his previous head coach spots? He was just, you know, reaching for the bottle, the booze bottle and the prescription pill bottle a little bit too much there to be the best version of himself. I think, you know, that gives you a shot. But to me, until you prove otherwise, you've had a couple, but you've had tremendous success as a coordinator. I start looking at you as coordinator guy. But it's clear Chris Del Conte and the guys that he talked to think that Sarkisian has the chance to be the next big guy and, you know, step in there and take them to that. Because they were super excited yesterday. You know, they're like, oh, we had a chance to get this boy Sark, and it was, you know, like a dream come true. I don't know, like college football press conference stuff. But Sark says, I don't think it's going to take us as long as many might think. We've got a talented young roster. We're going to hire a tremendous coaching staff, and we're going to continue to recruit the best players in the state of Texas. And then what made the hashtag, this will be all gas and no brakes.
I love that. I love that. I mean, I don't know exactly what it means. I mean, you got to use your brakes at some point when you get where you're going or when there's a car in the way or whatever. But it's a really fun saying.
Hit the wall.
All gas, no brakes.
Hit the wall real hard. They'll stop you too.
Yeah, sure will. Yeah, sure will.
I have a feeling that baby's going to be on T-shirts pretty soon. You know what I'm saying? I kind of want one.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Can we get it a different color? Orange just isn't my color, you know? Would that be offensive if I got the all gas, no brakes T-shirt?
Black. You can get in black. Black and white. How about that? Okay.
Black with a white? Yeah, that's a good alternative.
That'd be a good deal for you, yeah.
Maybe the burnt orange isn't your color?
No, he's got a significant other kind of person.
I don't care about that. I just don't really have orange clothing. I'm just not, I don't know. I'm not an orange guy. Maybe it is my color, and I just need to check it out. So, yeah, just everybody out there, send me your Texas gear. Thanks.
What do you think generally about hiring a guy that had the alcohol and prescription drugs fairly recently? That's just 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say this for the guy. He worked for Saban for the last 5 years, and it's gone great, you know. I think Saban is so intense that if you have cracks and you're having to get after, I guess he's still going to AA meetings too, but I just consider that part of how it could go wrong. You know, and when it starts to go wrong in those departments, it can be an avalanche of bad news for you. You know, and hey, I didn't have it that bad where it was costing me jobs and stuff and whatever Sarkisian had going on. I don't know. Maybe I had it worse and I'm only 5-6 years removed from it. I feel like I got it whooped. Right. And maybe Sarkisian does feel the same way. But as the employer, you're kind of poking around with a potentially troublesome situation, aren't you? I don't know if I'd go in that direction.
Well, that's when you get guys like Broadus, right? You know, Broadus' specialty is creeping around people, digging through the trash can, doing
yes.
Doing the homework. You're doing your homework.
Yeah.
I guess, Well, you never know, though, because if you were a legitimate addict, you never know. You know, people relapse, people have issues. But my guess is that Texas is pretty darn comfortable with where he is in his life right now.
I think,
yeah, they had a bunch of Bryans out there.
Yeah, I think he's comfortable where he is in his life, you know, and I think that's the main thing, you know, with if you look at what, you know, it was clinical all year the way that he operated with that offense. And, you know, to me, that's, you know, you don't just do that by accident. You have talent. You have an understanding. You know, if anybody will drive you to drink and take drugs, it's working for Nick Saban. You know, and the fact that he survived that,
and Saban
even said, "Hey, he used the word great," and I never hear Nick Saban use the word great to describe something or describe, but he, that's what he talked about with Sark. He did a great job. It's a great, you know, great off all year long. Great. Everything was great, and you know, and I think that's the biggest compliment that a guy can pay to you, that, you know, and Saban's one of the best coaches, regardless, college or pros, ever, you know, and the fact you work for that guy and you have someone, he just needs to be his own guy. Go out there and be your own guy. Don't try to be Nick Saban. Go out there and be Steve Sarkisian. Go out there and recruit. You know, if the parents ask you questions about your drinking problem, be honest with them. Tell them, hey, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take care of your kid. You know, I've seen the dark side of things. I've been there. You know, I'll take care of your kid. Send him to school with me, you know. And I think that's how he approaches every day. He's just fortunate. Like, man, he could have been just buried 5 years ago. Nobody would have going to hire him. Now he got a job in one of the best programs in the country. When you're talking about school and resource and all that, recruiting base, he caught a huge blessing here.
All right, at 877-881-1053. What do you think about this whole deal? Feel like Sarkisian will either be a great or a dumpster fire. Feels like a hire that can't be middle of the road. 617, I hope Sark can stay off the bottle off 6th Street, stay with his fine wife, not get caught up during relays, and lead my horns to a national championship.
Texas relays was the only reason I did track.
Yeah,
there are some first-round picks there for sure. Yeah.
Let's talk about it, brother.
817, damn, Gavin, I thought you were a man of God. Everyone deserves a second chance in life. God don't like ugly. Yeah, I'll give him a second chance. You know, I'm not looking to take away his ability to be employed or anything like that. I just don't know if I want my school fishing in those waters 5 years later. You know, let him keep on working at Bama, something like that. Go get another job, prove that you're good. My uncle used to get in drunk fights with him in high school, so there's that.
Oh, there you go. Call in. Truck. I like that.
And that is a party town. Austin is a part of that.
All right. Well, we appreciate your feedback here on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Maybe we can get more of it coming up on our next subject as we head into the 4 o'clock hour. Mark Cuban on what he's trying to pull off to bring the Mavs to your TV. How much is this jamming you up right now? Why don't you just go get that other streaming service? A lot of complaining about it. You can get that taken care of with a Fire Stick and a smart TV and about $80 a month. So are we making too big of a deal out of this? I got thoughts on that. We'll reset you on the big trade as well. That's coming up next, The Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.